Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
And Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. And Gojo, since we've passed the regular season for 2021, we've gotten through that. We're looking forward to the NFL playoffs. I feel like this is a great time to reflect. And we've done that in the first hour of our show. We've kind of gone back and looked at some of the good and some of the bad when it comes to our sports takes. And so we want to invite our audience in to be a part of the conversation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. That's 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What were you most wrong about or most right about with this NFL season? But with that being said, Gojo, let's go out to Charlotte and go to Logan. Logan, you're on Canty and Golic Jr.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. What you got for us today?
Good, JC. I was most wrong about Joe Judge, I think. I'm a longtime Giants fan. I thought he would be a winner. Win more games, but when you go for it on your own five-yard line, when you QB sneak like that, that's not winning. That's losing. That you're playing not lose at that point. And I thought he was definitely showed some more winning attitude. And I guess at the same time, I was wrong about John Mara. I thought it would take a new GM to get rid of Joe Judge, but Mara did it way ahead of time, so good for him too.
All right, there. You know what, Chris? That sounds like he was at least pleasantly surprised that all of a sudden they allowed him to retire instead of firing him.
Yeah, but here's the thing that caught me a little bit off guard. Like, it took him the quarterback sneak for him to be done with Joe Judge. Like, I had plenty in the chamber from what Joe Judge has done wrong throughout the course of this season and even going back to last year. So, I mean, Logan eventually got there. I guess as a Giants fan, he wanted to give his head coach every opportunity to see if he could get it turned around. But the product just continued to regress with each passing game. And the fact that they finished 1-7 through their final eight and throughout the last 2 years, only the Jacksonville Jaguars have a worse record in December, I think that's ultimately what ended up sealing Joe Judge's fate.
Let's get one more in here. Let's go out to Sam in Baltimore. Sam, you're on Canty and Golic Jr. What were you most wrong about this NFL season?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I was wrong about after week six when I saw Lamar throw for past 442 yards and they were 5-1 and Mahomes wasn't playing good football. I was like, they're going to go to the Super Bowl. No one's going to stop them. And wrong about that.
Yeah, and you know what? I was right there with you. We'll revisit some of my takes later. But Baltimore was tough, Chris, because they did come in with so much promise. But right in the preseason, they overperformed for so long based on how much injury they suffered early on.
Yeah, and we got to give Lamar Jackson some credit, too, because you're asking your MVP quarterback to kind of step up and help your team survive some of the losses that you had early on in the season. But we know, Gojo, an NFL season is a war of attrition, and it just got to the point where the Baltimore Ravens were missing so many pieces, both sides of the ball. It wasn't enough. Like, Lamar Jackson couldn't do enough to overcome all of those different things, and they ended up coming up short in week 17, week 18. But guess what? They were in it up until the end, and I think you have to count that as the win for John Harbaugh and company.
Yep, I said in the basket of teams that weren't completely Super Bowl contenders, John Harbaugh deserved a lot of Coach of the Year credit, and I firmly stand by that Lamar Jackson was playing MVP-caliber football for a half of this season. Keep those calls coming, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your worst take from the NFL season, we will give you ours here soon. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Call or click today. Safe to say, there were a lot of takes on Aaron Rodgers heading into most of this season, and while he has given us a fair amount of both of the bad and good this year, most of the good coming on the field, one of the things that was always interesting to go back and consider was Aaron Rodgers talking about the possibility of retiring this past offseason. He got asked about that again, the word retirement, on the Pat McAfee show yesterday and had this to say.
I think that if you still can play at a high level, it's way harder to hang them up, regardless of how your last game goes, win or lose. For my profession, there's a finality to it. You know, I've been really good at this sport for a long time, but there's a finality at some point. You can't play till you're 70. You know, I don't want to be, this could be my last year, this could be my retirement. I want to trust how it feels and where I am mentally. This has been a really, really fun year.
Chris, I know Aaron Rodgers might be the hardest person to predict in the NFL south of Antonio Brown, but I could see a world where if the Packers finally get over the hump they've been stuck on the last couple of years, if Aaron Rodgers were able to get that second Lombardi this season, based on that conversation we heard this offseason, I could very easily see him comfortably going into retirement, riding out on top, trying to pull the Elway, the Peyton Manning, and finish his career off like that.
I'm glad you can see it because I sure can't. I'm going to need for you to hand over those glasses so I can see things from your perspective because Aaron Rodgers is too damn good at his job. And quite frankly, Mike, he's too much of a narcissist to let go when he's playing at this high of a level. This is the presumptive MVP, and that would make it two in a row. And this guy would be one away from tying Peyton Manning for five total MVPs. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to let that ride, especially knowing that he's still capable of playing at a high level physically. I know he's got some issues this season with the toe, and we'll see how everything goes, but that didn't preclude him from putting his team as the number one seed in the NFC going into the postseason. So I just don't see it. I know that he put that whole Last Dance thing together with him and Devontae Adams, and he's been on the record in saying how much of a fan of the Last Dance he was when it came to that 98 Bulls team. But guess what? Like, Michael Jordan played basketball after he left the Chicago Bulls. Now, nobody wanted to see him in a Wizards uniform, but he actually did it. All I'm saying is I just have a hard time seeing Aaron Rodgers, even if they are able to finish the drill, even if the Packers do get over the hump of the NFC Championship game and win the Super Bowl, I have a hard time seeing him walk away from it. Now, does that mean he's going to stay in Green Bay and play in 2022? No, I'm not guaranteeing that. But certainly a championship does help the good feels with that. But I absolutely expect Aaron Rodgers to be playing quarterback for somebody in the National Football League next season.
Chris, let's put it this way. If we're going to hinge in on the Super Bowl, if we're going to say the best possible outcome for the Green Bay Packers happens, because before the season I said the only thing you could do to thread the needle based on how bad we thought the relationship was between Aaron Rodgers and management was go out there and win the Super Bowl, because I thought he was as good as gone after this year. I've seen the way now he's talked about Brian Gutekunst, their GM, who we thought he was at odds with. You've seen the way he's acted around this team and the success they've had. If I had to power rank outcomes and say, hey, if they win the Super Bowl, I would say it is most likely that he stays in Green Bay. But I would think I would be more comfortable saying he'd retire sooner than I'd see him play in another uniform if they managed to win it all this year.
That's interesting. I don't know if I feel as strongly as you do about that. I don't know that he's going to stay in Green Bay if they win the title, because I think that would, in his mind, solidify that he was right when it came to the dispute between him and Brian Gutekunst about whether or not the organization should be planning for life after Aaron Rodgers at the quarterback position. So I think he would be perfectly content winning a Super Bowl and then going somewhere else and helping that team compete at a high level and then watching the fallout and what happens to the Green Bay Packers, because Gojo, we saw what Jordan Love did in that Kansas City Chiefs game, and let's just say he left a lot to be desired. Now, I'm not trying to be overly critical of the young kid, but I do think that if Green Bay was quarterbacked by Jordan Love in 2022, they wouldn't be the team that's considered the favorite in a weak NFC North division. So I just feel like this is the situation for Aaron Rodgers if he wanted to emphasize his point and put on full display just how good he was, lead a team to a title, and then bounce and go somewhere else and compete for a title and watch what happens to your ex. I'm just saying he's enough of a narcissist where he would consider that as a possibility.
It seems like a guy that has been so at peace over the course of this season because he got everything he asked for. And
is he at peace, though?
The way he's talked about Brian Gutekunst and the rest of this outfit, Chris, it seems like a guy who said, you know what, I asked for a bunch of things, and I got them. And Chris, what could be sweeter for him than if he gets all those, the Green Bay Packers say, we want to keep you around here, and then they ship Jordan Love off somewhere. They get something back for him. That would be Aaron Rodgers winning in a way that feels like it would satisfy the narcissism.
Well, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. But maybe he decides he wants to go the Tom Brady approach too. And, you know, put forever and always any doubts that people had about his greatness completely aside. It's not about the head coach. It's not about the organization. It's about this single player being able to go somewhere and change the culture and change the outcome, also changing the trajectory of a franchise.
That is true. All of those things. Listen, Aaron Rodgers contains multitudes. This is one of the most hard guys to predict in the entire league here, and to act like we've got a true beat on him. would probably be
selling ourselves.
Yeah, I don't
like being in Aaron Rodgers' mind. I don't want to be in that space. I don't want to live there.
We already had Chris agreeing with Aaron Rodgers yesterday as he slandered Joe Judge's play calling in that final game as the Giants head coach. So we'll quit while we got a good thing going. But while we are uncertain about Aaron's future, we have been looking back at our past today, and we're going to get to more of your calls. We see plenty of you on the line, 888-SAY-ESPN, of your worst takes from the NFL season. Coming up next, though. The Dallas Cowboys against the San Francisco 49ers on Super Wild Card Weekend. Is this one a full ringing upset alert? We will head out to the Bay Area and try and get to the bottom of that next on ESPN Radio.
January 4th, 1992, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and it all started, and off we went. ESPN Radio. Celebrating the greatest moments in sports for the past 30 years. This is ESPN Radio. This is ESPN Radio.
Kenny Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And Gojo, right now we got to go out to the Goodyear Hotline, go out to the Bay Area, and bring on Larry Krueger, who is the co-host of the Tolbert, Krueger, and Brooks Show. And Larry, we got to ask you about the San Francisco 49ers. Big time matchup on Wild Card Weekend between the Dallas Cowboys, two storied franchises. But looking at the X's and O's in this matchup, a couple of weeks ago when the Dallas Cowboys lost to the Arizona Cardinals, Isaiah Simmons and other defenders on that Cardinals defense talked about how their priority was shutting down the run game for the Dallas Cowboys. That's been an area for the San Francisco 49ers that they've got to focus on. I wanted to ask you, is that the priority for them going into this matchup against the boys?
Well, you know, first, thanks for having me on, Chris and Mike. I enjoyed Mike in the South Carolina, North Carolina Bowl, by the way. There was a lot of mayo going that day. I think Dallas's offense is pretty balanced. I mean, as far as they can pass it, they can throw it. I think both of them are a huge threat. For the 49ers, their defense, though, is peaking, and they just got Dre Greenlaw back, and he came back playing like an all-pro linebacker. So, the 49er defense, I think, is going to be ready for Dallas, but I think they're a threat both on the ground and in the air.
Larry, heading into Week 17, we know there's a lot of conversation about the health of Jimmy Garoppolo. How close was it ever to finally turning this over to Trey Lance after what we had seen from the rookie against Houston? Was there any ever thought down the stretch that Kyle Shanahan might just get started with the future and take that talent upside?
You know, I think that they have maintained all year that they wanted to have the Mahomes development plan for Trey Lance, which was, you know, sit all year, play late in the year in a game that maybe doesn't have significance, and then kind of use this year as a redshirt year. So I really think Kyle Shanahan was pretty much all in on Jimmy Garoppolo being the starter at quarterback this year, basically from camp on, despite some of the things that may have come out in the media.
Larry, Deebo Samuels, I'm tired of trying to classify him as a wide receiver. He's just a football player. In the win against the Rams, where they came from behind by 17 points, he threw a touchdown, he ran for a touchdown. He's a factor in the passing game all the time. Can you talk about the growth that you've seen from him this season?
Well, you know, he's had some soft tissue injuries, right? He's had quads and hammies and different issues with his legs. He came to camp in great shape. And he's, you know, he just wants to win. And I think the biggest shift in the 49ers this year was that Week 10 game against the Rams. And that's really when you start to see Deebo utilized a lot more as a running back. So, you know, I think he's been absolutely the key to their year. In some ways, I think he's become kind of underrated because his numbers, you know, are rushing in the rushing and receiving category, but he's just, I haven't seen anything like him, you know, a receiver that can run with power and still get open, you know, down the field against man coverage, against good quality cover guys. You know, he's a unique weapon for sure. The big difference is he's been able to stay healthy.
Canty and Golic Jr. talking to Larry Krueger from KNBR as we look ahead to the San Francisco 49ers matchup on Super Wild Card against the Dallas Cowboys. And Larry, one of the players absent for the 49ers was star left tackle Trent Williams. What's his status as we near the midway point of this week for him and for Jimmy Garoppolo and that thumb looking forward towards this weekend?
Well, it's a great question because, you know, he's a key guy. He did not practice today. So Kyle Shanahan did note after practice that he's better today than he was on Sunday. But that elbow injury, you know, they're saying the elbow injury is not as bad as the elbow injury he had a year ago, but it was obviously bad enough to make him miss what was essentially a playoff game Sunday against the Rams. I expect him to go, but he's going to probably be in quite a bit of pain.
Larry, when I was getting ready to play in a game, especially a playoff game, when we would do our game plan install, we would always have guys that we would circle as the players that we have to stop from the opposing team. I wanted you to give me a player on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball for the Cowboys that the 49ers have to stop if they're going to have a chance of being able to win on the road.
Well, that's a great question, Chris. I would say, you know, Zeke Elliott definitely on the offense, because if the Cowboys can run it and Dak's got play action at his disposal for all four quarters, the Niner corners are going to have a hard time holding up against those Cowboy receivers. So I'll say Dak, or I'll say Zeke on offense. On defense, there's just no doubt. I think you guys know what I'm going to say. It's Micah Parsons. I mean, Parsons is just he's just a beast. I mean, whether he's a down linebacker or defensive end, I mean, this guy is a huge play guy on every single down. He's smart. He's instinctive, and he causes turnovers, and he wreaks havoc. So I haven't seen him handled once this year, and I've watched Dallas five or six times.
Going to be a huge factor in this game. One of the more, I think, exciting and impactful games of the weekend, and certainly one where a lot of people have the Cowboys on upset alert. Larry, we appreciate you giving us some time. Enjoy the week. Enjoy Super Wild Card Weekend. Should be a great one.
Thanks, fellas. Anytime.
Larry Kruger, co-host of Tolbert, Kruger & Brooks on KNBR, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Coming up next, we've heard from you, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, on your worst sports take from this football season here. Coming up next, it's a reminder that we've got to do some self-scouting around this show. We will hold up the hand and be accountable with you after this word from Body Armor. Now, let Body Armor Lite help you achieve your fitness goals this year. Body Armor Lite, well, it's the low-calorie sports drink hydrating your active lifestyle. It has no artificial sweeteners, no sugar added, and only 20 calories per 16-ounce bottle. My brother has not physically been able to stop drinking Body Armor Lite for the last month. That's not a lie. Like, he just keeps ordering it. He had it when he was here at Thanksgiving, and he just sends me pictures of garbage cans full of empty Body Armor Lite bottles. Jake, if you're out there listening, you can stop drinking long enough to breathe. It is that good, though. Athletes like Mike Trout, Sabrina Ionescu, and Dustin Johnson also use Body Armor Light to stay hydrated, so why not give it a try? From now until April 30th, buy $20 of any Body Armor product and earn $10 in fitness cash towards select fitness retailers nationwide. Learn more at bacommittofit.com. That's bacommittofit.com. People don't forget, next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter line at Mike Golic Jr. and at ChrisKenny99. And Gojo, it is Wednesday, hump day, so you know that means we got to get to People Don't Forget, but today we got a special edition of People Don't Forget, right?
Yes, so we decided we're on the cusp of Super Wild Card Weekend. Everyone's excited about the NFL playoffs. But we always say, in order to go forward, we got to look back a little bit here and do some self-scout. That's the biggest, most important part of heading into postseason football. Postseason sports in general is saying, what have we done so we can do it better? And so we thought we would go back in the vault, and we've been asking you to join us on that, 888-SAY-ESPN, on the best and worst takes that we've had this fall football season. So you've shown us yours. Now we will give you ours, and People Don't Forget.
Hey, Greg, why don't you go f*** your pants again?
That was like 8 years ago.
People don't forget. Forget.
All right. So, let's start off with a little bit of the good stuff right now here, because we're going to spend plenty of time tearing ourselves down here, and with good reason. I want to go back, and I will start, put my own hand up here, and see, I think I kind of nailed this one right off the bat. Looking at some of the rookie quarterbacks coming in and very clearly circling one situation that we knew was going to be a problem. The one I'm most worried about is Trevor Lawrence, because I think with his coaching situation, that one seems less tenable. Like, I'm not sure if Urban Meyer is in this for the long haul.
Yep.
And man, how much does it hurt for a quarterback to have to go through that regime change? Now, in some instances, a la Jared Goff early in his career, getting to go and get the upgrade to Sean McVay certainly provided a boost there. Well, that was back on September 28th of this fall. Chris, safe to say that one could not have flamed out any better if we had drawn it up in a lab.
No doubt about it. That's one that you could see from a mile away, Gojo. And whether you want to talk about the Tim Tebow signing or hiring former Iowa strength coach Chris Doyle, I mean, no matter what you wanted to do, there were plenty of things that you could point to before the season even kicked off where Urban Meyer clearly didn't understand that this was the NFL and this wasn't college football. He fell way short of the mark, and then on top of that, he embarrassed the organization. And you know that's just a no-no when it comes to job security. So you're right. This is one that we should have seen coming, and I'm glad that you decided you were going to go on the record and let it be known.
Speaking of someone going on the record with some truth, we're going to talk to Keyshawn Johnson, co-host Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, later on in the show. But before we do that, let's go back to October 27th. Where our very own Chris Canty had heard Keyshawn saying the Saints were legitimate title contenders and decided to set the record straight.
Like, how the hell are they going to be a top three seed and we don't think they can beat any of those teams? Like, I understand that the Saints took it to the Green Bay Packers early on in week one, but let's be honest. Aaron Rodgers and that team were still in preseason mode. Like, that's not where they are right now. So I don't know if I can buy into Keyshawn's take that the Saints all of a sudden are going to start clicking on all cylinders and we're going to talk about them as being a true title contender. Like, I just think there are levels to this, and it's clear that they're not on the level with the top three teams that we have in the NFC, which are the Cardinals, the Cowboys, and the Buccaneers.
Yeah,
and Gojo, to take it a step further, a week later, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers lose to the New Orleans Saints, and Trevor Siemian is the quarterback that's doing it. And so Keyshawn the next week had his chest all puffed out. He was ready to go, saying how right he was about what the New Orleans Saints as a team is. And now we look at the final standings after the regular season. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers won the NFC South with 13 wins, 4 losses. The New Orleans Saints, 9-18, outside looking in. I'm just saying, without having to say it. Well, I actually already said it, so I don't have to just say it anymore.
That's the beautiful part, is you did say it. You were pretty. You let us know back then. So when we talk to Keyshawn coming up here in about an hour, we will see if he's got any regret about this take. As we're taking a look back on Canty and Golic Jr., because people don't forget, this one could fall on either side of the line, I think. Looking back near the midway point of the season, this was me back on October 18th of this fall talking about who at that point to me looked like the presumptive MVP frontrunner. I think at this point, Lamar Jackson has to be the MVP frontrunner. Like, I know Kyler Murray and the Cardinals are undefeated right now. Ooh. I know that deserves credit. But I saw Paul Hembakides tweet this out, one of the great ESPN stats guys here at the Worldwide Leader. The two teams with the most players on injured reserve right now are the Ravens and the Lions. The Ravens have 16 and the Lions have 14. The Ravens are 5-1 and the Lions are 0-6. Like, that is, to me, a Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh stat of what they have been able to do as player and coach, overcoming injuries in that defensive secondary, overcoming injuries at running back and offensive tackle. Like, that entire running back room for the Ravens got decimated by injury before the season, and all they did was have all three guys that they brought over as free agents get in the end zone yesterday within the body of one game. And you can only do that when the guy that's captaining that ship on offense in Lamar Jackson is playing the way he has. Well, and then he got hurt too, so I guess that one's kind of right then and certainly did not age well.
Yeah, but Lamar Jackson, in his defense, ran out of gas, literally. Like, he was doing everything for this team, and just the level that he was playing at, we all recognize it wasn't going to be sustainable. But you did have him have 4 come-from-behind wins, 4 fourth-quarter comebacks, 4 game-winning drives in a matter of 12 games, and he did it against some pretty quality competition. We saw it against the Kansas City Chiefs. We saw it against the Indianapolis Colts. Like, it's not like Lamar Jackson didn't have moments where we said, yeah, this guy definitely deserves consideration for MVP because of everything that he's helping his team to overcome. So I don't think that was a bad take.
Doesn't feel terrible, but I got to say, for this last one here, as we were getting set to talk about Super Wild Card Weekend, as we just talked to Larry Kruger from San Francisco about the 49ers and their potential upset bid of the Dallas Cowboys, we started talking a little bit about Mike McCarthy's job security, and I realized that sounded familiar, like October 18th of this fall, familiar when Chris Canty talked about the Dallas Cowboys and what their Super Bowl contention means for Mike McCarthy.
I mean, if this thing doesn't end in the Dallas Cowboys lifting the Lombardi Trophy, then I think Jerry Jones would be inclined to move on from Mike McCarthy if that means that he can keep Kellen Moore as his head coach. I mean, let's not forget that Jerry Jones is not ashamed or not deterred from having a head coach in waiting type of situation. Like, I remember when I was playing for the Cowboys in 2007, they made the decision to hire Jason Garrett as their offensive coordinator slash head coach in waiting before they hired Wade Phillips, who would be the head coach. Like, that's what Jerry Jones did. So to me, it's not outside of the realm of possibility that Kellen Moore might just be sitting tight beyond, you know, this season and could potentially be elevated to the Dallas Cowboys head coach if Mike McCarthy stumbles along the way. And Mike McCarthy and his decision-making is a part of the reason why this team doesn't accomplish the ultimate goal. Yeah, it wouldn't shock me to see Jerry Jones fire Mike McCarthy after a 13-14 win season. That would not surprise me at all.
Chris, I will say you did just bring up now that a conference championship weekend appearance may be good enough. So are you faltering off this?
Yeah, just coming back a little bit of that backpedal. But we're not talking about a cover three backpedal, just a cover two. I'm not going that far. All I'm saying is the Cowboys have to be a Final Four team in the NFL playoffs, and that should be enough for Mike McCarthy to be safe. But anything short of that, and I could absolutely see Jerry Jones doing what he did about a decade ago when he fired Wade Phillips and elevated Jason Garrett to that head coaching spot. I could absolutely see that happening.
So if you're wondering why we spent so much time patting ourselves on the back, it's because we're going to make you wait for the good stuff around
here. Actually, Gojo, let me say this. I'm going to guarantee it here today on the show. Guaranteed, all people don't forget that if Mike McCarthy doesn't get the Dallas Cowboys to the conference championship, then he's gone as the head coach. He's not coming back in 2022. Guaranteed, you heard it here first.
There we go. See, that's what Self Scout does. It lets you see the picture more clearly going forward. This is why we do the exercise. This is why we want to hear from you. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your worst take from the fall. We are going to get to you. I see some people on the line. We will give you the bad takes. We will give you the stuff that we messed up on coming up in just a little bit next on ESPN Radio.
They said we were nuts back in the fall of 1979, saying that all sports 24 hours a day would make it on TV. And now you say we're nuts trying to start ESPN Radio? We're dead serious. We know you like us on TV, and if you do, you'll love us on radio.
30 years and counting. This is ESPN Radio. This is ESPN Radio.
What were you most wrong about this NFL season? What were you most right about this NFL season? That's the conversation we're having right now on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. And Mike, we've had some doozies from you and I throughout the course of this year. We just reviewed some of the good, but later on we'll have to get to some of the bad. But right now we're going to go out to the call, the Dr. Pepper caller line, and get to Josiah in Ohio. Josiah, you're on Canty and Golic Jr. What you got for us?
Thanks for taking the call, guys. So I'm a big Bengals fan. And I said this on Greeny's show one day that he was doing like something similar, hot takes. And I said that the Bengals would go and beat the Ravens by at least 2 touchdowns. And then Joe Burrow would go and win the MVP. I just wanted to call in and get my flowers, man. I was right. Poo day. Saturday's a big day, man.
You know what, Chris, that's the first call we had of someone bringing up their good take. So happy to see that for him. He was correct. The Bengals beat the Ravens 41-17 in their first matchup on the road and 41-21 in that second matchup once the Bengals had all their people basically knocked out of this thing. And Joe Burrow has been lights out. He's been able to overcome in that offense all of the deficiencies up front for that offensive line. So you know what? Go off, Josiah. Good for you.
Yeah, you usually don't see a team in a division, once they hang a 40-burger on you in the first game, come back and do it again in the second game, especially not a team like the Baltimore Ravens organization that has a lot of pride, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So good on Josiah for being able to make that prediction. I didn't see the Cincinnati Bengals being able to do what they did. I still had them in the cellar of that division. So the fact that we sit here today and the eve of Super Wild Card Weekend and have them hosting a playoff game, That is a little bit of a head-scratcher from my perspective based on what I thought this team could be coming into the season.
Yeah, I would agree. Listen, I'll be the first one to stand in line and say I was, and probably still would say, picking Penei Sewell wouldn't have been the worst thing in the world. I think this offense still would have been really good, even though Ja'Marr Chase has been excellent. But it's certainly been an offense that has leaned all the way into its gifts on the outside. By the way, Josiah did this, and our producer Shannon asks this question. Can you give yourself flowers? I would say yes, Chris, in an era of where we talk about self-love and making sure we pick each other up. I don't think there's anything wrong with coming in and saying, you know what? I got this right. I'm doing good. I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And gosh darn it, people like me.
No, I don't think you can give yourself flowers, though, Gojo. Because when we say that, I mean, literally, you could give yourself flowers, but it's in the figurative sense. You want people to give you love for a take that you made or something that you did. You can't do it yourself. Like, he's coming on the show because he wants us and others to recognize that he was right when it came to his Cincinnati Bengals, which we are now doing. We got to give him his props, but I don't think he can give himself flowers.
You know what? I think this is going to be a debate for another day here. No. And maybe a potential segment. Give yourself some flowers.
I like that. I like that segment.
As someone who has at times bought themselves flowers at the grocery store, it's a great way to brighten your week. There ain't nothing wrong with that. 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN if you want to come in here and give us your worst NFL take of the fall or your best NFL take of the fall. Let's try Mike in Reno. Mike, you're on Canty and Golic Jr. here. What was your take from the fall?
Well, in the beginning of the year, I said that the Minnesota Vikings would win the division. They had a defensive line that's all coming back with Pierce and Hunter, and then we got Tomlinson and Barr coming back. I was like, all right, this is it. Green Bay's in disarray. And after further review, that was a lie.
The lie detector test has determined that was a lie. Mike, I am so sorry on this one. You have been Maury Povich.
Y'all might have to get Maury in there to fix the problems that y'all got going on, though, man, because it is all bad up in Minnesota. And Kirk Cousins, once again, has proven that he's just good enough to get a coach fired, and they are a team that's going to be in salary cap hell going into this offseason. So, Vikings fans, hang in there. I hope you hit a home run when it comes to your general manager and head coach search, because y'all going to need it.
Yeah, this is one of those jobs when we talk about ranking the ones that are open. It's really complicated to assess because depending on where you sit, maybe having Kirk Cousins around is a benefit. He's also someone, Chris, with enough guaranteed money on his contract that they could potentially deal him and eat some money, but also get out from under that albatross that tends to be Kirk Cousins in pressure situations that we've seen time and time again in his career.
Gojo, there are only two teams in the NFL going into 2022 that have less cap space than the Minnesota Vikings. Those two teams, the Green Bay Packers and the New Orleans Saints.
Oh, no.
If you're in the
conversation with New Orleans, no. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
That's not where you want to be, dog. That's not where you want to be. And your quarterback isn't Aaron Rodgers, so I'm just saying there's a lot of things that they got to clean up in Minnesota, and it doesn't feel like they're going to be all that competitive in the foreseeable future.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We want to hear from you, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your best take from the NFL season, your worst take, as we are on the cusp of the postseason here in football here. Let's go to Colin in Alabama. Colin, you're on Canty and Golic Jr. I don't know if this is your best or your worst take, but what do you got for us? Colin, you got us?
Hello?
Colin, you got
you're
us?
You're on the air, Colin.
It's Thomas.
All right, go ahead, Thomas.
Hey, I'm calling in. Really love you guys' show. First off, love you guys' show. Calling in about Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles. I had been saying for a long time that Jalen was a winner. Sometimes you just need in certain cities a winner, man. And also with Matt Jones, I'm a 49ers fan. I really wanted the 49ers to draft Matt Jones, but hey, they went to the Patriots. I think he's doing excellent down there with the Patriots. But I kind of had a bad hunch about the Miami Dolphins. I thought they were going to be a lot better than they were this year. I think injuries kind of played a big part with it.
Thomas came with all the takes today, and we appreciate it. Sorry about getting your name wrong on that one. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Maybe just like one or two things from now on. The full bushel basket, we might not have time for all of that. Coming up next, though, let's look at some of the openings around the NFL and try and actually figure out which one of these landing spots is most desirable. Next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.